chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. I'll be reading this morning in other places in the Bible. In fact, if you just want to jot that down, in Exodus chapter 20 and also Revelation chapter 5. But this morning, you say, well, I thought Christmas time was over with. Yesterday was Christmas time, and I thought Christmas was over with. I got news for you. Christmas makes the beginning of it, not over. Christmas is just the beginning, not over. Well, Christmas is over, we get back to our regular routine. No, the routine is serving Jesus Christ, and that's never over. What Christ done for us, as he come down and lived in this old world and willing to die on a cross. A lot of people knows about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus Christ. So my title of this message this morning, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Mary Had a Little Lamb. That's a nursery rhyme. I believe that most of us have heard about that little nursery rhyme. I know before I ever went to school, that little nursery rhyme, and there were several others that I could almost see the pages on those little books has been read to me, and I look at those little pages even before I went to school. Jack and Jill run up the hill. Y'all remember Jack and Jill? I know you younger people don't know what I'm talking about. Or maybe Little Bo Pete lost his sheep. And then, you know, there was a little lady that lived in a shoe, and she had so many children she didn't know what to do. Do y'all remember those nursery rhymes? But there was two of them that I read that I didn't know. It was read to me that I didn't really understand. And one of those was Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And it's a picture of an egg on a wall, and it fell and it broke. And little did I know of that, but that had really come out of the Bible, because Humpty Dumpty is a Roman Empire. And all the kings of the earth could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but God can. And God will in the book of Revelation. So when that Humpty Dumpty was nothing in the world but just the background of the Roman Empire, it had a fall, but one day it'd be resurrected, as we know in the book of Revelation. But then there's another little saying, this little nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And his fleece was white as snow. And little did I know, as I was a child growing up and never know the implication that that had on the Word of God and what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came to do. And little did I know the application, the implication that was even whenever I was grown and I lost, and I didn't even understand it even at that time. And even further along, whenever I was saved, and every time that I ever heard that, Mary Had a Little Lamb, in the Bible, I still have not grasped all the implications that what Mary Had a Little Lamb really means to me and to you and to this world today. 2,000 years ago, Mary had a little lamb. So I'd like for you to read in this second chapter of Luke about this little lamb. And if you keep your Bibles open, I want you to see not just the lamb that Mary had and how the further aspects of it into our life, but I want to tell you, this lamb was a lamb in prophecy. And this lamb was a lamb in history. And this lamb was a lamb in victory. And I want you to see this lamb in majesty. This great lamb. Many hours that I put into this. And like I said, I never understood, and I don't yet know all the implications of Mary's little lamb in my life and what salvation through Christ Jesus. And why are we really here this day about Mary's little lamb? I hope you understand a little more as we go through this sermon this morning. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season, and oh, how that your word helps us and tells us what it's all about. Father, it's so much more than what average people thinks about what you really done whenever you came to this dark world. That You was willing to come to heaven, Lord, that we might be able to go to heaven. Father, you was willing to come and die on the cross, Lord, that we wouldn't have to die, Lord, for our sins. But Father, we want to thank you now for becoming the Son of Man, that we might be able to come the sons of God. And how we want to thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord, for all the great blessings that you've blessed us with this past year. Because of this Lamb, the Lamb of God, that take away the sins of the world. Father, I pray that you might open up our understanding this hour. There's so many things is said wrong about this little lamb, and so many things are not understood about this lamb. Father, help us to understand and see this hour. Every person that's sitting in this building, from the very youngest to the very oldest this day, Father, we just pray the Spirit of God will take the hearts of the people and might open the heart for the understanding of God of your precious word. By the Spirit of God. And again, we pray for those, Lord, that's so less fortunate here this day. One's on our prayer list, Lord. One's going to have our hearts and our minds and our friends, our neighbors and our family. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. This little lamb. Little lamb born in Bethlehem. Well, the little lamb was born in Bethlehem was a great I Am. Did y'all understand that? I mean, the great I Am, the God Almighty, was born in Bethlehem. Now, it was not incidental, nor was it accidental that he was born in a little town called Bethlehem. Michael chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 2 says, though through he be little, though, among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. And to me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. It was no accident. It was prophesied in the Word of God that Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem. Now, it's fitting as you find this out. Bethlehem, there's a little village that most of us wouldn't know anything about, even in our history books, because it's just a little small town about 5 miles east of Jerusalem. Just a little small town. But there where God's perfect little lamb was born. God's perfect lamb was born. Now, how fitting as you think about this. And we say, well, there's no room for him in the inn, and they had to go to a cattle stable or a animal stable for him to be born. But how fitting now for the Lamb of God to be, you know, to be born in a place called a stable, because he was a Lamb of God. There was no room for him in the inn. So this is a sacrificial lamb was going to be born in a stable, as lambs a lot of times are born. Now, for years and for generations and for centuries, the Levites and the priests had been raising these Passover lambs. They was a very special breed of lamb, these Passover lambs, and they was out in the fields, the shepherd said, by night, and they was watching these Passover lambs. There was a special breed of lamb, a special little lamb that was raised, and they was nurtured by the shepherd. As a lot of times we know that our kids, they have the FFA, they have these animals, and they have very special attention they give to these animals, because it's for a very special purpose that we have this FFA, these animals that these kids raise, because they're going to be a show animal. They need to be perfect. They don't need to be no spots on them. They don't need to be crippled. They need to be exactly a perfect animal as they present them as a prize being won. Well, this is the same thing as these sheep was raised. They was a very special sheep. They was nourished, and they was take care of. You see, they was brought now into Jerusalem when they got the time of the Passover. They brought these Passover lambs to Jerusalem, and they was to be slaughtered. The shepherd now was watching these Passover lambs as they do every day. And then it says an angel appeared unto them. Jesus Christ, it says, a birth of Jesus Christ is beyond this fashion. The angel appeared to them and announced the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 again, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Mary had a little lamb, and his fleece was white as snow. Born in a stable and not in a palace. Jesus Christ was not born in a great palace, but he was born in a stable. Why? Because he was the Lamb of God, a very fitting place for the Lamb of God. The Lamb in prophecy is going to become the Lamb of history, and the Lamb of history, you'll see the Lamb in victory, and also you'll see the Lamb in majesty. This Lamb, this little baby Lamb, Mary, had a little Lamb. So I'd like for you, if you want to turn with me to chapter 12, the book of Exodus, and you'll see this little Lamb in prophecy. Little Lamb in prophecy, and also we'll be in Revelation chapter 5, this Lamb in prophecy. Now, I want to tell you about the history now before we read any in Exodus chapter 12, because you know the Hebrew has been down in Egypt now for 400 years. They've been in bondage. They've been in slavery. They've been in taskmasters. They've been there for 400 years. And God had already prophesied that he was going to bring his people out of Egypt. They was going to the land of Canaan land. He had already prophesied that before they ever went down into Egypt. And you know the story how that they went down into Egypt. Now, Joseph, we've been preaching on Joseph for the last two Sundays before Christmas time, how Joseph, you know, he was the one that led them into Egypt and how they sustained that group of Hebrews. They went down, I believe there were 70 in that family, come out over 2.5 million. But then there rose up a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, and they would have taskmasters. They have slavery for hundreds of years. And the crying out, God says, I will deliver your people. So we have that now in Exodus chapter 12. Now the Jews now, he says they were in bondage. They were slaves is what they were. And they need to be set free. They need to be set free. And guess what God's plan for a nation of 2.5 million people? God had a plan to set them free. And what plan did God have? A little lamb. Understand now how they was going to be set free was a little lamb. Now, the history, we find out that this little lamb, what God done through this little lamb whenever it was slain, it set their destination, and also they depended on their direction of their life because of this little lamb. But I got news for you today. This little lamb, Mary had a little lamb, and this little lamb, the same little lamb that we're talking about in prophecy, is a lamb in history, but he's a lamb in victory. And for you and I today, I was in sin and I was in bondage, and there was no way I could get out. I was under bondage of sin by Satan himself. And you know how God delivered me? He delivered me by the Lamb of God. God's little lamb is how I was delivered. And I'm going to tell you that set my destination where I'm going to because of a little lamb. And the same thing, the nation of Hebrew children of those 2.5 million or better that come out of Egypt, their destination was because of a little lamb. And your destination today is because of a little lamb. You're going to a place, a land not made with hand. But I tell you that God says that Abraham was looking for a city and builder and a maker is of God. And that place that you and I are going to, we are just pilgrims and passing through as the nation of Israel was in the 400 years they was there, and also the 40 years in bondage in the wilderness. But they was going to a land, and they was determined they was going to a land, and their destination was because of a little lamb. And this little lamb that people don't think too much of today, when Mary had a little lamb, it's the destination of the world is going to Jesus Christ. It sets the destination for mankind today. It sets the destination of the world today. This lamb is my lamb and your lamb also. A lamb to be delivered. This lamb was so meek now. Think about this. This lamb back in the time of Hebrews, they was going to kill this little lamb. They was going to pick out a lamb. And this is the way that God chose to deliver his people. And this is the way God chose to deliver you, is by a lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But a lamb now is going to be presented now to the great Pharaohs. And you remember the story, there was 10 plagues that come across Pharaoh, because Pharaoh had all these different types of God. So that God says, I'll take a little lamb. A lamb that do not have any defense. A lamb, you know, can't run very fast. A lamb can't bite. A lamb can't scratch. A lamb is just a very defensive animal, very meek and very defensive. Seemed like a lamb would be saying to us today, you know, if you're hungry, slay me. And if you're cold, share me. Seemed like just looking up and presents itself to the human beings today. This little lamb has no defense whatsoever. I read where a man in the same situation, a man was in a slaughterhouse killing animals, and they was killing cows and killing hogs. And then one day the slaughterhouse decided they're going to start killing sheep. Well, you know how they kill a hog and a cow is a lot different than how they kill a little sheep. I mean, they might shoot a hog or a cow with a gun, but now a sheep, they make sure that they bled good, so they pick up their necks and they cut their throat. He said the first lamb he run in there, didn't think nothing about it, but he lifted up that head of that little lamb and he cut its throat. And he says, that little lamb licked the blood off my hand and just looked up at me. And he said, I quit my job. I couldn't do it no longer. You see, that it's different. A lamb is different than all other animals. If you're hungry, slay me. If you're cold, share me. God's little lamb. God is going to use a little lamb now to deliver the Jews out of Egypt. A little lamb. Think about this. Now, Egypt, you know the symbol of Egypt? The symbol of Egypt and the great gods of Egypt and the symbol of all the pharaohs, you find out, is a serpent, is a snake, the cobra snake. Very poison is this snake. But all the kings and the crowns that they wore, a symbol of a snake upon their crowns. And all the great pharaohs and the statues they made is a symbol there of a snake, because that's the authority of their power is in the serpent, the snake of the pharaohs. But you see this poisonous snake and this little defenseless lamb is fixing to have a battle. There's going to be a battle now between the great pharaoh's gods of this serpent snake hissing around and this poisonous snake with a very little small defenseless lamb. And I'll tell you today that the battle that God fought for you was fought with a lamb. The serpent snake itself in the Garden of Eden slid out there upon man's history. And I tell you, that old snake bit every one of us through Adam. And guess what God used to deliver us from that old serpent snake of Satan himself? God used a lamb. Behold the lamb that take away the sin of the world. A little lamb, the defensive lamb. What did Jesus ever do? The meek and mild Jesus Christ, as he walked on this earth and never knew no sin and never knew no wrong. I tell you what he done this Christmas season, that little lamb. Mary's had a little lamb. He lived the life and never said anything wrong. Always went around doing good. He was a defenseless lamb. Never hit anybody. Never done anything wrong. But you see, God used a lamb against the Satan serpent himself that had been bit you by sin. And you was dead in trespassing sin. They're going to be a battle, this little lamb. This little lamb now is going to deliver them, the gods of Egypt, against this little lamb. And all it comes down to is that blood that lamb shed. The shed blood of that little lamb today. You and I have been delivered by Mary's little lamb. Even the gods of this world could not stand up against Mary's little lamb. But it always comes down to Mary's little lamb, and it was the blood of Mary's little lamb. So in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, as I read, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little, the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to this house take it according to the number of the souls. And every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats." I'd like to show you one thing now about this is a special lamb. This is a special lamb. I need about an hour this morning. Y'all gonna give me an hour? This is a special lamb. A very special lamb. Why? Because it had to be a lamb without spot or without blemish. A special lamb. Your lamb, this lamb, without one speck, any blemish on this lamb would disqualify him to be this special lamb that they are supposed to choose. This was a very special lamb. But you see, just like Jesus Christ is a special lamb. But then also we find out this was a slain lamb. It says there in verse 6, "And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." I'm going to tell you, it was a slain lamb. You shall kill it in the evening. Now, the father of the house, they picked out this lamb for 14 days. They kept this little baby lamb in their house. They watched, they kept it, and see if there's anything wrong with it. And then at that time, it came to kill it. The father of the house took and cut that lamb's throat and caught that blood in a basin. And while he done that, guess what? The Father Almighty God, guess who put Christ on the throne? And guess who God says, you know what? That's my son I give to this world. God the Father was letting Jesus Christ be sacrificed. I'm going to tell you what, that was a slain lamb, as Jesus Christ was a slain lamb for us. It was a saving lamb, because it says there in verse 7, 12, and 13, and listen to what it says. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat." Drop down to verse 12, "And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. He says, against all the gods, I'm coming through this land. Now, there better be some blood on that doorpost that I'm coming through this land. I'm going to tell you, this was a saving land. The blood on the doorpost. I'm going to tell you, the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel all around the door. Why? He said, because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Are you covered by the blood of Jesus Christ this hour? You got to walk through the blood and under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in that time, the Hebrew people could put gold over that doorpost. They could put silver over that doorpost. They could put jewels. They could put anything they wanted to over that doorpost. It would have done no good. I'm going to tell you what they could have done. That little lamb they said to choose out, they could not have killed that little lamb, and they could have tied that little lamb right there by the front door, and it would have done no good. Because you're not saved by the life of Christ, you're saved by the death of Christ. We have a whole congregation of people thinks they get good enough that Jesus Christ will accept them. You got to do good works to be saved. I'm going to tell you, holiness do not lead to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ leads to holiness. Understand this, there's a difference today. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's not what Christ done while he come and lived on this earth. It's when he died on the cross and shed his blood. The Bible says without remission of sin, without remission of blood, sin there are no, excuse me, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You have to have the blood. You have to have the blood. So you understand this. If they'd have put a live sheep out there, that very same sheep they kept, it would not have saved them, because it's not what Christ done while he's on this earth. A lot of people think they can keep the 10 golden rules. They think they can keep the commandments. Think they can do what Christ done and take example out of his life and live good enough to go to heaven. Nobody can ever do that. God didn't intend for anybody to use the example of his life to be saved, because nobody can live the life of Jesus Christ. There's only one that lived it. But his death in Christ, he got in them and done what they could not do. It's his death. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But this was also a shared lamb. Verse 4 and verse 7. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you account for the lamb. Verse 12 says, and I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both a beast and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute their judgment. Verse 8, it says, and there shall eat of the flesh that night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, with bitter herbs you shall eat it. Now, this was a shared lamb. It was a roasted lamb. What did Jesus Christ do on the cross of Calvary while he was just roasted there in that sun? He says, now you eat this lamb. Now, as they took this and done what God told them to do, and they roasted this lamb, and the nation of Israel was eating this lamb, they, from slaves, they walked out as a nation. And listen, when they walked out of Egypt, a lamb walked out in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That lamb is here today. Why? I feed upon that lamb. That lamb is in me today. They fed upon that lamb. It was a lamb. When they walked out, that lamb walked out in that nation. The Lamb of God. Oh, how great it is. I like for you to see the lamb in prophecy. But not only that, I like for you to see now the lamb in history. John the Baptist in John 1 and 29 says, the next day John seeing Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, as you look at this, I'll tell you, we look and see how Jesus Christ has this lamb in prophecy. He becomes a lamb of history. This lamb in history, now he was a very special lamb. Jesus Christ was a special lamb because he was without spot or blemish. He was virgin born. You know, that was a very, very necessity for him to be virgin born. He was the great I Am, became a little lamb. Because, you see, it don't make no difference about the virgin birth. It makes all the difference in the world of Christianity about the virgin birth. Because, you see, without the virgin birth, Jesus Christ would have been the same as you and I are today. I mean, we was passed on from Adam and Eve, and he would have been passed on from Adam and Eve. But you see, he did not have the blood of Adam. He had the blood of the Father. Jesus Christ had God's blood. You say, well, God's a spirit. God don't have no blood. He did when Jesus Christ was on earth. He did when Jesus Christ was walking on this earth. I'm going to tell you, he was a special lamb without spot or blemish. Nobody could find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. He had to be a special lamb. But also, you know, he's also a slain lamb. Why? because he takes away the sin of the world. Sinless sacrifice, the blood of God running in his veins. And it came from the Father, the virgin born, without sin, the Lamb of God. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, Paul talking to the pastors there at Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The blood brought you this morning. Are you a blood-bought Christian? If you're not, you're not a Christian. The blood has bought the church. It's God's blood. Jesus came be what he was so we might be what he called us to be. Jesus came from heaven that we might be able to go to heaven. Jesus came to be the Son of Man that we might be the sons of God. Excuse me. If you know, if you read your Gospels, one-third of all four of the Gospels in your Bible is given to the last week of Jesus Christ on earth. One-third of your Gospels, all four of the Gospels, one-third of them, of all of them, is giving to the last week of the life of Jesus Christ here on this earth. Why? Why this happened? Well, we find out the shepherds without watching these sheep. You remember there on Palm Sunday now, whenever Jesus Christ, for last week, and Jesus Christ was walking down in Jerusalem in Palm Sunday, there's laying palm trees, palm leaves down, Hosea, Hosea, and he was walking down, he's fixing to enter into the temple. Hosea, Hosea, Jesus Christ was entering into the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem. And just that time, the Passover lambs, they had already drove them up from the fields, and the Passover lambs was going in through the sheep gate at Jerusalem at that same time. The priest was examining the lambs, these Passover lambs, because it's fixed to be Passover. And they was examining these lambs. They couldn't be a spot. They look in their ears. They look in their mouth. They look everything over them. They was examining them. They can find to find nothing wrong with these lambs. Well, at the same time that these lambs were being examined, walking into the sheep gate, Jesus Christ walking into the eastern gate, guess who met him? The leaders. The leaders, Pilate, Herod, chief priest, scribes, Pharisees, was all examining Jesus Christ, as you remember this trial, finding something against him, trying to find something. As these priests were examining his lamb, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, God's little lamb, was being examined. It was being examined, trying to find something against him. But remember, everything was said, and then Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. It was God's lamb, why he couldn't find no fault in him. There was nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, from that Passover meal, he ate this Passover meal with his disciples. And as he got up from that meal, and he took the Lord's Supper, the first meal, and then in the garden he went. He went to the garden there, and then from the garden he went to the cross of Calvary. He went to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. You remember what Mount Moriah? That's where Jesus Christ was crucified. Mount Moriah. You remember what Mount Moriah was? And Abraham was going up in the book of Genesis chapter 22. And Abraham was going up the Mount Moriah with Isaac. And you remember the sacrifice he's going to offer his son, his only son Isaac, on the altar there, Mount Moriah. And guess what God says to Abraham when he stayed his hand from putting out knife through his son? He says, now God will provide himself a lamb. And hundreds of years later, Jesus Christ is on this same mountain now, walking up to Golgotha's hill on Mount Moriah. And remember what God says? God says, I will provide myself a lamb, and that's Jesus' lamb, the Lamb of God. At the same time that those priests was cutting the throats of those lambs, Jesus Christ was on that cross of Calvary. On that cross of Calvary. About 9 o'clock in the morning, we find that Jesus Christ was being nailed to that Calvary's cross, and the priests sharpening their knives now to kill those little lambs. And they was killing those little lambs, getting ready for slaughter. Jesus cried in that sixth hour. He said, it's finished. Priest, we no longer need you anymore. Shepherds, you don't have to raise any more Passover lambs. No more fields of Bethlehem need to be seen with Passover lambs. God's perfect lamb died on the cross. It's finished. Paid in full. He became a saving lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is our sacrifice. That's our sacrifice. Are ye washed in the blood of the Lamb today? But not only that, we find out the same thing, that he was a special lamb. He was a slain lamb. He was a saving lamb. But he was a shared lamb. He was a shared lamb. And we know we take of the Lord's Supper so many times. 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus that same night which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, The cup is a new testament in my blood, this do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." You see, it was a shared lamb. We're here this morning, and we share in the lamb. And many times we come for this Lord's Supper, he says, you just remember what I've done for you, because I'm a shearing lamb. I'm a saving lamb, but I'm a shearing lamb. We share fellowship with one another. I want to tell you, we come to worship Jesus Christ. We don't come to worship one another. We come to worship Jesus Christ, but he shares himself with every one of us this day. He's a shared lamb. This lamb in victory. This lamb in victory. Now, if I have just a few more moments here, we see this lamb in prophecy. I want you to see this lamb in history, but I want you to see this lamb in victory. In Revelation chapter 5, you see this lamb in victory. And it says in Revelation chapter 5, John the great revelator said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither on the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." John says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, shall prevail to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereon." Now, what is this seven seal book? It is. This is the scroll book of the title deed of the world of the universe. This title deed. And they said it had a seal on it. No one could open it. Verse 2 says, "No man, I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open this book and loosen those seals?" And then John began to cry. Ain't no man. John began to wail. There's no man to bring back the title deeds of this world. It was lost by Adam and Eve. There's no man. Adam says, "There's no man." And he said he began to weep bitterly there in verse 5. He began to cry in tears. Because you see, Adam, from Adam to that day, all across the human race, from Adam all across the human race until that time of John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, there's no man worthy to open this book. Ones that's dead, the ones that's living, the ones there, no man is able to open this book. And John said, "Behold now the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And I'm going to tell you, whenever John's looking for a lion, because the angel said there's a lion from a tribe of Judah is worthy to open these seals and look thereon. And John turned around to look, and he didn't see a lion. He saw a lamb that had been slain. As he had been slain, the nail prints of Jesus is still there today in heaven. John saw a small lamb. It says there in verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb. It had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the world." This word lamb there is not the ordinary word for lamb in the Greek language. It's a word called a little lamb, a small lamb, a pet lamb. It's the same thing in John. Jesus Christ told John there, "Feed my little lambs." To feed my little lambs. That little lamb of Egypt, that little pet lamb. We see now again, we see here in the book of Revelation, we see that snake of old serpent that had been around a long time. And put the end of this old serpent, guess what God's going to use again? God's going to use a lamb. There's a battle going on now right here in the book of Revelation about the lamb and the serpent. And you just think about the battle went on in Egypt, and the battle went on whenever he saved you, and the battle is going to keep going on until we get to the book of Revelation. That slain lamb, as you see it. That Satan snake, you see, and the Antichrist and the beast. And then to see a little lamb, how defensive this little lamb is, as John saw him. Well, that Satan and all the bad he's done and all the power he has and his Antichrist and his beast. And then he looks and sees this little lamb. John saw this lamb that had been slain there in chapter 6. That had been slain. The mark of the cross of Calvary is what John saw. What we've done, what sin done to Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But not only that, you see a standing lamb there. He said, there stood a lamb. You see, Jesus Christ laid down in the grave, but the grave could not hold him. He got up and he walked out of the grave. John sees a standing lamb there. Grave could not hold him. Standing at the right hand of God and making intercession for us. Stephen, the great martyr, the deacon of the great martyr, you know, when he looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He's a standing lamb. He's an intercession lamb for us today. But not only that, you see a small lamb, you see a slain lamb, and you see a standing lamb, but you see a strong lamb. A strong lamb. A strong lamb. There in verse 6, he had 7 horns. And all through the Bible, that tells us the power and the might there of 7 horns. The horns are the perfect power of God. And this little lamb has the power of God. It had the power of God to break the strongholds of Satan in Egypt. This little lamb had the power to break the strongholds in your life and let us see the darkness of our life. We could not see the living Savior. We was blind by this world of sin, and we could not see what Christ had done on the cross of Calvary for us. But this little lamb with the power of those 7 horns broke up that seal, and I saw the glory of God, what Christ done for me, and I accepted in my heart and my life what Christ has done, and I'll forevermore be with Jesus Christ. This little lamb has this power. He'd have these 7 horns, this powerful, strong lamb. But not only that, you see a searching lamb. This searching lamb, because it had 7 eyes. What does it mean? The all-seeing eyes of God. He sees what your heart is right now. He sees if your heart is opening up to the things of God this hour. He saw what you done yesterday. And all-seeing God knows of everybody. He sees what they're up to today. And how they're not serving his little lamb. He's got the searching eyes looking upon all everybody's life and see our life as it really is. Because you see, this lamb is a searching lamb. And he's looking for a heart that they would accept him as our Lord and Savior. You see, the searching lamb has this power of this lamb and this searching lamb this day. Oh, but not only that, you see the sacrificial lamb. He says he died. He was slain. He was slain. And maybe those angels, or maybe John says, what right did this angel, what right did this lamb have to take the book and to open this book? And the little lamb begins to speak. He says, by the right of creation. Colossians 1:16, it says, everything was created by him and for him. He says, I have the right to take this book from my Father's hand because I am the creator. All things was created by me. I have the right to take this book because of Calvary. I'm the one have redeemed. I'm the one have redeemed and resurrected from the grave. And I stand here this day and rejoice forevermore. I am the redeemed. I come from the grave. I am the living Jesus Christ. I am the one today. I have the right because of Calvary. He says, I am worthy because I have the right of conquest. I have prevailed. The lamb had prevailed against the serpent of this world, and he had delivered the people of this world. He says, I have prevailed. As we come for an invitational hymn this hour, and old John had begun to think about it, and then I want you to read some verses of scripture here in the latter part of this same chapter of Revelation. As they are coming, I want you to see the lamb in majesty getting ready to sing now. I hope your hearts is prepared for this because we fix and see. The Lamb in majesty, and it says there in verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. For thou wast slain and have been redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, a tongue, and people of the nation. and have made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him. We shall reign on this earth. And I behold, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under earth, and such are in the sea, and that are in them, heard and saying, blessed, honor, glory, power be unto him that sat upon the throne and to the Lamb forevermore. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him for living forever and ever and ever. Have you got anything to say today as we stand and sing this song? Are you washed in this blood of this Lamb this morning? As we stand, are you washed? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb today? Do you have this power over Satan? God says, I brought you a Lamb from eternity now. It's up to you. The all-seeing God knows. Is he worth it today? Is he worth it this past Christmas season? Is he worthy? Jesus Christ says, I'm worthy. I went to the cross for you this day. I'm worthy. Can we say he's worthy today? Can he say he's worthy today?